Greetings to you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As the world is in turmoil and a lot of pain and suffering, in the midst of it, we thank God for this opportunity He has given us to come at His feet, and that God will help us and speak to us in this time of need. Today's topic, the message topic, is titled God's Vision for Me. Our Father in heaven is a God of vision. He's a God of plan and purpose. Vision means is the ability to imagine how a country, a society will develop in the future and to plan in a suitable way. In the world, people have a lot of vision. Companies have vision. Governments have vision for their country. But do you know that God, our Heavenly Father, has a vision for all of us? Many times we forget that our God has a plan and purpose, especially when we go through difficulties in life. Bible says God had a vision when He created the earth. In Job chapter 38, if you read, God educates Job saying, do you know who laid the foundations of the earth? I planned its dimensions. I stretched out the surveying line and measured it. I designed the whole earth. I put it there with a support. The people of this world, the scientists and the astronomers are looking at the planets and they're trying to figure out how this whole thing came into being. But God said, I created everything. I created the sea and set a boundary for it so that it will not go any farther inland with its proud ways. We see the majestic oceans. 70% of the earth is filled with water. And when we go to the ocean, we see the mighty waves that blast on the hit the shores on the rocks. And we marvel at the power of the ocean. God says, I made it to stay in its place. I don't allow it to come beyond it. Hallelujah. He put a boundary for the ocean. God said, I created the sun and commanded the light to shine from the east. Think about it. You go anywhere in the world, the sun will always rise from the east. You can stand upside down, still the sun will rise from the east. Because God is a God who gives direction. Hallelujah. You may fly from west to east, but still the sun will rise from east to west. Hallelujah. Bible says, I planned where this light shall come and where the darkness shall go. When the light comes, the darkness has to go. Hallelujah. God planned everything with a purpose. Hallelujah. Our God's plan is unlike any other plan we see on earth. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 to 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts cannot be conceived, nor God's ways can be compared to our ways. Hallelujah. Because our God knows everything. As we read in the Bible, the Israelites who were living in the promised land suddenly were taken into exile to a faraway land. They never thought this would happen to them. It looked like God's promise did not last long. God gave the promised land, but suddenly they are no more in the promised land. They are taken away as exiles to a foreign land. But at that time, God speaks to prophet Jeremiah. He says in chapter 29 of Jeremiah 8 to 14, say, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel says, do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. I will bring you home again, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. When if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Hallelujah. And I will be found by you, says the Lord. God has a plan and purpose. And the plans of God are always good. It is not for disaster. Hallelujah. There is a future and a hope. Whenever we trust in God, He always gives us a future. He gives us a hope. As prophesied by Jeremiah, 70 years later, if you read in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled the prophecy He had given through Jeremiah. Our God is a God who fulfills His promises. Hallelujah. Praise God. No one can stop our God's plan. Isaiah chapter 14, Bible says, God says, I have a plan for the whole earth, a hand of judgment upon all the nations. The Lord of heaven's armies has spoken. Who can change His plans? When His hand is raised, who can stop Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bible says, if God decides to bless us, no one can reverse it. This is what happened when the pagan prophet Balaam was asked by the king of Moab to curse the Israelites. God spoke to Balaam to bless Israel instead. Balak got upset with Balaam and asked him to curse them again. And Balaam got this message from the Lord. And we read in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 to 20. And Balaam speaks to Balak. This is what the Lord says. God is not a man, so He does not lie. He is not a human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? Listen, I received a command to bless. God has blessed. I cannot reverse it. Hallelujah. We have a God who blesses us. Our God is a God who doesn't curse us. Hallelujah. If He has a plan, He will come to pass. His wonderful Father who loves us gave us the eternal vision through His Son, Jesus Christ, when He came down on this earth with a great plan to save us from all our sins. And He fulfilled it, hallelujah, at the cross of Calvary. But at the same time, do you know that He has a vision for us while we live on this earth? Each one of us, God has given us a vision. If you read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, Bible says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it loses its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No lights, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Jesus gives us this vision. He envisions us to be a salt and light to this world. He wants us to understand this vision this morning. What is this vision that Jesus is talking about? We can divide this into two. One is an internal vision, and another is an external vision. The internal vision, Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. We cannot call any powder as salt. We can call a powder as salt only when it tastes salty. Saltiness is an inner quality of salt. The moment this quality is taken away, you cannot call it salt anymore. It is a tasteless powder, cannot be used for anything. So Jesus is saying that if we are God's children, if we are blood-washed, Holy Spirit-led, born-again Christian, we should have the same quality as Christ had. If I am a Christian, if I am called a Christian, I should have the quality of Christ inside of me. My mind cannot think and behave like the worldly people. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our mind has to be renewed. A lot of people say, Lord, I cannot change. This is who I am. This is how I was born. There's no way you can change me. But Bible says, I can change you. The Word of God says it can change you. Only through the Word of God we can differentiate whether I'm doing God's will or my will. Hebrews chapter 4 verse says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our inner thoughts and desires. We need to spend time in the presence of God, reading the Word of God. The Word of God works, will expose our inner thoughts and desires. A lot of times we don't know whether what I'm saying, what I am thinking, is according to God's will. That's why we need to read the Word of God. The Word of God will expose our inner thoughts and desires and say whether I am thinking what God wants me to think or am I going against God's way. 19 verse 130 says the Word of God gives light, so even the simple can understand. It is not complicated. The Word of God is not complicated. It's we who make it complicated. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 to 17, it says all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So as we start obeying God's word, our mind will be renewed and our thoughts will become more aligned with God and become Christ-like. When this happens, people who come in contact with us will see Christ-like quality in us and God's name will be glorified. Hallelujah. So the word of God will change you and make you as a person that God wants you to be. Hallelujah. You'll be like the salt. That's the vision that God gives you, is giving us for us in our personal life. That is the vision we have to aim for as we live on this earth. Next, we have to, God says, I have an calls us the light of this world. Scientifically, a light is an energy generated from a source, and light travels long distances and brightens the surrounding areas. So here Jesus is showing us the external responsibility as a Christian. Jesus gives two analogies for light. One he calls it hilltop city, and other he calls a lamp. Jesus said a hilltop city cannot be hidden. In olden times, cities were built on hilly places, so they act as a place of safety from attacks, a place of refuge for those who lost their way. Similarly, God has given us a position as a church, as an individual. He gives an elevated position to be a place where lost souls can find their way towards the light. And people who are under Satan's bondage and oppression can come and be set free. Hallelujah. So God has given us a position higher than what we ever think. Many times people think, I don't have any talent. I don't know what I am supposed to do. But Jesus is looking at you and saying that you have a position. And recognize that position today. As young men and as young women of God, God has given you a position to make an impact to those who come near you, whom you come encounter in your life. God has given you a position. Recognize this position and accept that position this morning. Next, Jesus calls us to be a lamp. A lamp has a purpose. It is used as a source to give light in the dark. So we cannot take a lamp, light it, and place it under a basket. That is not the use of a lamp. Jesus said a lamp has to be placed on a stand so that the light can brighten the place. Similarly, God has not only given us a position, but as a purpose, but a purpose in this world. We are called to be witness for Jesus wherever we are. It might be at home, at school, at work, at college, at church. God has given us a purpose, a responsibility, a role and a responsibility that we have to perform in this world. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful life. Hallelujah. God has called us out of darkness into a wonderful life so that we can show God's goodness to others in our life. As children of God, we got an assignment to complete. This is what Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, 12 to 15. If you read, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Paul is reminding the people in Philippians, he's saying, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Hallelujah. God is working in each one of us. He is giving us a desire and a power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. So without complaining, without arguing, let us continue the work that God has given us. Live clean and innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So in conclusion, my dear young brothers and sisters, Christ has given us a vision for us. He has called us to be a salt and a light. Let us pray for this vision to be fulfilled in our lifetime on this earth. Our God, who is faithful, will help us to accomplish it, because His word will never return void without fulfilling its intent. Let me encourage you with this verse from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 to 11. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. God's word, if it is sent from God, it will accomplish, it will produce the fruit, what it was intended to do. God said, you are the light, you are the salt of this earth. If Jesus has said it to us, that will accomplish in our lives. It will produce in our life. God will make it happen in our life. It is our responsibility to humble ourselves and receive this word and spend time at His word and let the word work in us. As we obey God, God will make it happen in our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May God bless us with these words this morning. Amen.